Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. So we continue here with our fifth shiur in the Chayvus Levavos. And the Mechaber here in the Hakdama, we're still in the Hakdama, the Shaar Bitachon. So the Mechaber says, there's a very, very important piece he has here. Another famous piece. One of the other to'alios, one of the advantages of Bitachon is, Menuchas and Nefesh, Me'an Indida, Bedrachim, Rechaikas. Person who has real peace of mind is not going to be a traveling salesman. He's going to save himself from a lot of business trips. He'll find Parnassa right at home. Some people make business trips every morning. Go to Manhattan, that's a business trip. Like it feels a derech. Take trains and boats and cars, like amazing. So he says to travel to faraway places is mechalas, aguf, it wears out your body, it brings you to an early death. Mekar v'keitz ha'chaim rachman l'zlan, like David HaMelech says in Tillim, Kapitel Kuf Beis, ina baderech koichi, ki tzar yomai, the Baruch Hashem tortured me by traveling, and ki tzar yomai rachman l'zlan, my days are shortened. Oh, and here he brings down one of his Maisalach. He has a lot of stories. See, actually, the Chayvus Levavos, to my knowledge, rather, it's one of the first forum, certainly from Yishayin, that brings on constantly illustrations, vignettes. Once upon a time, there was an Ovid Hashem, a parish, separated from this world, that before he started to be Noyig Bepricious, he once went to a faraway land to find Parnassa, went to darkest Africa, comes to the city where he's doing business, he meets a pagan, and he tells the pagan, you know, you people here are so plunged into dark ignorance, it's amazing. He was very open with him. He says, you know, you people are idol worshippers, you're so blinded to the truth, you're so primitive. Look at the kind of worship you have. So the idol worshiper says, so tell me, who do you worship? Tell me about your form of worship. Tell me about your God. So the parish says, oh, my God. My God is the God. Because my God is the creator of heaven and earth. And he's Kol Yachal. He can do everything. And he's Mechalkel Yechidi. He's the one who provides people all by himself. The Baruch Hashem doesn't have board meetings. Doesn't have to come on to CEOs to run his business for him. The Baruch Shalom he runs the whole world single-handedly. No votes, no nothing. And the Baruch Shalom does a great job at it too. He knows exactly what everybody needs, takes care of everybody's parnasa. Everybody has a custom tailored parnasa. So the goy, the idol worshiper, says to the parish, Masecha saistrim esorecha, your actions contradict your deeds. Your words, your actions contradict your words. So the parish says, why? He says, listen, if what you say is true, that the God you worship created heaven and earth, and he can give every single creature parnasa, and he has unlimited power, so then if God is so good and gives everybody the perfect parnasa for them, everyone gets the perfect parnasa. Can you imagine? You are really in the perfect parnasa. So if he's so good, so then why don't you just stay home and let God send you the checks? Why are you hustling to the other end of the world? What are you doing here in darkest Africa? Do you want to be here? No. So what are you doing here? If you believe that your God will give you the best parnasa that you like, you should just stay home. So the parish had no answer. And you know he said, you're right. And he turned around, went to the ticket counter, cashed in his frequent flyer mileage, and he's makabel himself never to toil or run after Parnassa, and he never left the city to look for Parnassa. So it's a very, very well-known story for the Chayvus Levavos, and the story speaks for itself. Actually, it's interesting that a similar vort we find in the Divrei Yecheskel, in Parshas Vayera. In Paris by Yehira, we learn about Avram Avinu and the three Arabs come to visit him. So we all know Avram said, "Yukachno matmayim v'rachasu raglechem v'shonu tach ze'etz." Avram says to them, "Wash your feet." So Rashi says he thought they were Arabs who are mishtachvim la'avak raglechem. The Arabs bow down to the dust on their feet. In fact, the Halakha Shinav of the Divrei Yecheskel, who would be foolish enough to worship dust? If that's your God, the dust on their feet, they were worshiping. That's the first I could see worshiping the sun, the moon, maybe a tree. I could see worshiping, you know, various things. You worship a cow, it gives you your sustenance. But to worship dirt, dust, so he says that's the pshat. He says that the Arab represents the great traders of the ancient world. When you're living in the desert, the Arabs represent the caravaneers, the people who went from place to place doing business. And these were the people who opened up the world. These are the ancient Arabs. And the Canaanim, there were two different names in those days for the big businessmen, the merchants who did global business. They were Canaanim and Arvian. And these people felt that the only way to make money is by traveling. They introduced the idea of interstate and international commerce, international banking. So they taka worshipped, he says, the dust on their feet. The fact that they went on the road and they traveled, they worshipped their travel. The worship of the dust of the feet is a metaphor to the idea that they believed, what was the thing in the world they believed brought them the most success? Schlepping around, getting their feet dirty. If you don't get your feet dirty, if you're going to stay home, you're going to starve. If you're going to travel, then you'll get rich. So that's the pshat they worship the feet. He says, there's plenty of people today who still have that. It's an alta avodah zara, and this is an avodah zara. He says, merutzas raglayim, mala avok, goyim lam, litzbar, hoin, v'aisha. They think that they're hustling, which gets the dirt in the feet, is what gives them the wealth that they gather in. That's avodah zara. So that's another tell us of the Baal Bitochen, he stays home. And the Baal Bitochen knows that anything that's too hard, if it's too heavy to schlep, not for him to schlep. If he doesn't enjoy what he's doing, if it's boring, not a good job for him. If the job puts him in any kind of a danger, it's not the job for him. Can't be. So now he says, really, this is it. I think that if you let any bacher or girl out of a Jewish educational system without telling them this, Rabbi Metzger, you have to teach this to your girls, how does a Jew choose his job? Vocational training starts with the following few lines of the Chayvus Levavos. He says, a Batei Hashem, what kind of a job does a Batei Hashem choose? He chooses either a craft or a business or a profession that gives his guf, his body, the most menucha. He works the least. You have to take a job that makes you work very little. Lots of rest. Take it very easy. I know I'm a rabbi. Easy job. Weekends are a little rough. The whole week, no problem. And it's a job that you know that you can do the best. You get the best reputation. As you know you're good for this, you're suited for this. You know, this is where you're, so if your job is selling potatoes, but you happen to love playing the violin and you're violin virtuoso, and you know that violin, you're great, but you don't believe in yourself enough to go and join the Philharmonic, so you're doing something wrong. You have to do the one that you know that you really can excel. And also, you have to choose the job that's matrid achi pachos es machshavoysav, the job that gives you the least cup drainage, the least confusion. And it's a simple job. It might be complicated in the details, but you do it, gishmak, you don't have to worry about it too much, you're not nervous about it, it's not too complicated. Once it gets too complicated, so you have to keep it simple. You have to have a simple job, physically not taxing, mentally easy, something you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable, quit. And of course, also a job that lets you be a yid, learn as much Torah and serve the Rebbeinu on daven. If you have a job that makes you daven on buses, and the job, someone just told me that the last 14 years they've never heard Aleinu in shul, never heard Asher Valtzian. The job requires they're out of here right to Shimon Esrei. Kriyas Torah is shaky. So you have a job that deprives you of serving the Rebbeinu properly. It's not for you. That's not the job. Because a person who's a Boteach Hashem believes firmly that the means which a person chooses for pranasa will not add or detract from that which is destined to you every year for Rosh Hashanah. The Rebbeinu Shalom decides how much you're going to get, and your activities, all of your hustling, all of your brains, you think you're so smart, all of your great investment strategies, all your studies of all the Forbes and the Barron's and the Wall Street Journals and all your research, market research, is worthless. I hate to tell you. It's nothing. It's all the Rebbeinu Shalom. Because even if you're going to do great 98% of the time, if it's not destined to you that money this year, you're going to read the wrong stock tip, you're going to get the wrong investment, and by the end of the year, everything you made is gone. As someone just told me here in Shul, they're doing great at the beginning of the year, and then one bad tip. But Maisa, they were so confident already for the whole year that they invested all their profits from the whole year in this one tip. And the tip tipped and it's gone. And they lost everything they made this year, they lost. So, you want to be mishtadel in the stock market? Fine. But don't think for a second that all your research and all your brilliance and all the connections, all the networking you have, you do the minimum, what's necessary, and finished. As it says in Tillim, Ayin Hey, Ki loy mi moitzo mi marov, not from the east and not from the west, loy mi midbar horov, and not from the deserts and not from the mountains, will come a person's wealth. Ki Elohim shayfeit, because it is the Rebbeinu Shalom himself who judges and rules, zeh yashpil, zeh yarim, and the Rebbeinu Shalom himself decides who's going down and who's going up. Which stock goes down, which stock goes up. Japan down, America up, vice versa. So they're all from the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's not because the Japanese are stupid that they're down. Suddenly the Japanese got stupid. For 40 years, the Japanese are the most brilliant technology people, the greatest businessmen in the world. They're so smart. Suddenly got stupid. What happened to them? Suddenly a Ruach Shtus got into the Japanese and they're fighting all kinds of economic woes. It's all from the Rebbeinu Shalom. We were learning from them. And suddenly, they, what happened? It's all the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Elohim Shoifet, God rules the Yashvil with the Yorah. And it says, like Siddur Mel says, Benaizdesh Yar Bitsaini, Alme Menuchas Naleini, Hashem decides if I'll be by green pastures, if I'll be by tranquil waters. Everything's Rebbeinu Shalom. So this is what you tell somebody looking for a job. That's it. And the nice girl decides, you know, I'd rather stay home. Tell her stay home. Don't let those crazy teachers drive you crazy that you have to become some kind of a great career lady. You know, women are students, stay home, that's where they belong. And men, who says men have to hustle all the time? Drake Manas and Mansi. It says in Chazal, Yehi Makar Chabaruch, let your source be blessed. Ashrei mi, Shetayrasa Meirai, Parnasasa Meirai, V'ishta Meirai. The person, blessed is the person who, his Torah comes from where he lives, his Parnasa is from where he lives, his wife is from where he lives, everything is right on the spot. The more far afield the person has to dray and stray, is not lacking in bracha. The bracha is yehi mekorcha baruch, that you should find your makar. The bracha should be at the makar, at the source where you are living. And he continues and says that the person is b'teach b'Hashem, he doesn't have akmas nefesh from anything in work. And even if he can't sell everything, or he can't collect the debt, he doesn't have pain. And even, he says, that if he gets sick, Rachman al-Islam, he knows that, number one, he only got sick because God decreed that way, and number two, he knows that, this is the best line, that the Rebbeinu Shalom worries about him more than he worries about himself. We knew that we had a doctor, or a parent. Remember, we once kids, parents, they took care of everything. So we have a Tat in Himmel, the Rebbeinu Shalom watches over us, and he is totally mamish. He's worried about us more than worried about us. We're worried about ourselves. So nothing concerns the Baal Bitochen. As David Melo says in Tillim again, Achal Elohim Doimi Nafshi, towards God my heart and my soul is silenced. Kimimenu Tikvasi, because my hope is in God and from God. I know that Hashem is worrying about me more than myself. So when I'm in trouble, I don't have to feel the whole burden and the pressure on my own shoulders, because I know that I have Aziz Tatan Himmel, who's pretty capable, pretty smart, has a lot of connections, better than me. He knows the best doctor better than me. So people go crazy out there. A lot of things people are, today, it's really, because we're in the information age, and there's so much information, people, I mean, the ability to run around the world to try to solve our problems is easier. And that's dafka than the soya, not to run around the world and for every different thing. Not. First, turn to the Rabashtam. The emergency number Hatzala is 1-800 Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first 1-800-HAS-HEM. That's the first number you have to have programmed into your cell phone. If you have two cell phones, four cell phones, first thing you call is, we have a cell phone. Hashem Tzelcha Al Yad Yiminecha. Hashem is my shadow, and I have nothing to worry about. We have a cell phone. Call up your shadow, the Rabbi Shalom. He's my protecting security blanket. Hashem, help! You know what? You don't have to scream so loud. Help. You can whisper, you don't have to scream. Mara says, you raise your voice in davening, you're miktane amana. You're a person of meager faith. Hashem can hear it. And even if you're too tzebrachan to even say it, Hashem knows Hagyon li bilifanecha yula ratzayn may pi Hagyon li bilifanecha. May my words find favor, and if I can't pronounce it, if I can't articulate my needs, Hagyon li bi, the thoughts of my heart, Hashem knows that too. I can scream for help from my heart. It's a great cell phone, this cell phone. You get about a million free minutes per day, free. No, remember, every call is you get paid for the call. Not only is it not collected, you get paid for the call. The fact that you call upon Hashem, He pays you for the call. Just for the call, He pays you. That itself, He pays you. And the response time is fantastic, and the battery never wears down, doesn't run out, this battery. The cell phone, I'm going to start marketing the cell phone. This is the wave of the future, the cell phone. Anyway, we know that the Rabbi Shalom worries about us more than we worry about ourselves. And it's interesting, I was thinking this week, I never saw this. Bitachon. We're talking about Bitachon, Rabbi Yisai. Okay, my friends, look at the word Bitachon. You can write it down if you like. And I see in Bitachon a lot of different words. I see different. I can break down Bitachon, make it from one word into two words, and the two words I see, I mean, many different configurations. I see tremendous lessons from the word Bitachon itself. What we become through Bitachon. For instance, I see here in Bitachon, Beis Tes Ches Vav Nun Sofis, I see Chein Tov. Chein Tov. Good Chein. Good charm. Good grace. I also see in Bitachon Chut Ben, the thread of a son. Isn't that great? You're all jumping for joy, I see. What does that mean? Gival, here we are, we're in Kislev. Kislev is the month of Hanukkah. And as we discussed many times, anybody, the word Hanukkah has as its root the word chen. Chen is grace, charm. Chen really means, comes from the word chinam, for free. Which means that the highest thing that we can be zaycha to from the Rabbi Shalom is that Hashem gives us good things for free. We haven't even earned them. Chayin means that someone loves you so much, they give you more than you deserve, just because they love you. And who do we give the most to because we just love them, although they haven't earned it? Our children, who's nobody. We love our children more than anybody. Much more than our parents, that's pashut. And even our spouses, a little bit they have to earn it. We're a little critical. Spouse, you don't part your money so quickly even. Although you should. But your children, the little babies, and we spend everything in the world for our children, is gewaltig, because they have chen, and chen is lashon chinam. It's a gift from Hashem they should want. I just love them for no reason, because they're mine. So Chanukah is when Klal Yisrael was first alienated from their Rabbanim Shalom, and then by learning Torah and by Amunah, we came back to the level of Banim, children, not just Avodim, servants. Like it says in Nalanisim, Vacha came bo Bonecha, Bonecha, they came back, Bnei Bina, Yemei Shmona. Constantly and throughout Chanukah we have the theme that Klal Yisrael became Banim again, and once they're Banim, so they have Chen. And that's why it all starts with Yoichanan Kohen Gadol. And by Hashem, many of the great people had names with Chen. Choni Amagol made a circle around himself till the rain comes. Hashem called him a Ben. He's called my son, Ben. Chanina Medoisa, Ben. He's called a Ben. Chanina, Chananya, Yoichanan, Choni, Elchanan, David HaMelech, Zelchanan. Yosef is Ben Pyrus Yosef, Ben Pyrus Aliyah. What's Ben Pyrus and the Bruch of Yaakov? So the tag of Ben Poras is Ben Chen, a son of Chen. He's Maitre Chen, Bnei Hashem. So Chen and Banu go together. And the Gemara says in Shabbos that when a son and a father were very close to each other, and there was great love, so if the Gemara says if a Ben is a Mizgagei, I love him. If a child has such a yearning for his father, they can't stand to be alone from his father even for a minute. So the Gemara says, I think it's more that they would take the shoelace from his father and he would wrap it around his arm. And that's the shtickle what the remez of tefillin is that we wrap the ritzuas around our left arm, we were like bound up to the Rabbanu Shalom. So in case we have this tremendous yearning, so some of my sons, they also have a tremendous yearning. I had this experience, it's a very wonderful experience. My son has tied up me with his cell phone actually, so he just can't stop calling me. But he has three minutes on the weekends. But he's very bound up. He can't be without me for a minute. He's got to talk to me. He's got to hear the Torah. He's got to shmooze. It's very close. Sometimes you have Yizayah to a very close relationship with the Ben. So the Gemara says that the Ben is Mizgageya. So in the times of the Gemara, the school was that he would wrap a shoelace or some string from his father around his arm. So that's why Bitachon has both these concepts. Bitachon is Chein Toif, a good Chein, with the Rabbanu Shalom. As Bitachon also comes Chut Ben. You become a son with the Rabbanu Shalom. You're wrapped in the Rabbanu Shalom with a Chut. You're constantly wrapped up to Hashem. You're sewed up. Not just tied up to the Rabbanu Shalom. You're sewed up with the Rabbanu Shalom. A Chut Ben. You are sewed up with the Rabbanu Shalom. What can be nicer than that? Sewed up. And you have your cell phone. Wherever you go, just whip it out. And that's cordless. So, you know, you have a Chut with, you know, in Hebrew, the word for wireless is Al Chut. Wire as an aleph, al chut, not with a chut. Well, you have a chut ben without the actual chut. The chut is a spiritual and emotional chut. This is what a person gains with bitachon. So Bikitzer, he says, you know, the person of Bateach Hashem, he is a happy person. He is a happy camper day and night, because even if something goes against his nature, he says it cannot be bad. Because 1 second, I am tied up to the Rabbanu Shalom. I am wrapped up with Hashem. Hashem takes care of me better than I take care of myself. So if this is where Hashem sent me, this has got to be the best. It just can't be otherwise. Just like a mother, an Eim Rachmania, a compassionate mother, she washes a little baby, and she ties him up, and she diapers him and undiapers him. Sometimes she ties him up in his clothing, sometimes lets him out. The baby sometimes crying, he's uncomfortable, you put him in the bathtub, he's upset. Of course, the best thing for the baby is to be washed up. Babies don't like it sometimes. The soap gets in their eyes. Sometimes the water's a little too hot for them. Sometimes they're annoyed. They don't like when the mother's patching with them, and then they don't like it when they get diapered. Maybe she gives them a little stick with a pin by accident. Sometimes it's a little too tight, the diaper. The demise of the mother means the best, and the mother's trying to make a nice tight diaper. It shouldn't fall off. So just like the baby, he says, gives the mother, like a baby, is being bandied about by his mother. And he doesn't understand what's going on. It's against the baby's will. And the baby often screams, and then, but it's the best thing for the baby. The mother knows for sure. The mother knows exactly that right now the baby should be diapered. Sometimes he shouldn't be diapered. Sometimes he should be washed in hot water. Sometimes in cold water. Sometimes he has to shampoo his hair. The kid's screaming shampoo. Mother knows best. So David HaMelech says, Ntilim Kuflamet Aleph, Yivloi Shivisi, V'doimamti Navshi, he says, Shivisi, I put Hashem before me always. I strengthened my faith. I kept my soul quiet. I didn't complain. Kugamal ala imoy, like a nursing baby on his mother's breast. Kagamal alai nafshi, that is how my soul feels cradled in Hashem's bosom, kaviyachol, and I feel that mamash, I'm a little baby in Hashem's arms, all day long. So a person can, imagery, a person can generate that kind of imagery, the whole day long, wherever we are. So you're stuck in a traffic jam, gridlocked, and you're frustrated, start honking your horn, blood pressure is going up, stress, anger, frustration, you're gripping that wheel. Just remember, if you're stuck here in this traffic, it's from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem put you here this second. Only He knows, only the good Lord knows why you're stuck here, right now, behind that huge suburban van, and behind you that huge old truck is honking. You don't understand why, you have no idea, but that's how it is, and it's the best thing, so just sit back calmly and say, thank you, Hashem, for this little break. I was getting a little tired, Taka, driving. You know, now it's Taka good to have a little gridlock. Okay, I'm going to close my eyes for 10 minutes. So you close your eyes, and when you get refreshed, suddenly, traffic jam is over, and you realize that Hashem wanted to give you a little break, and it's gishmak, it's very good. Who knows? You don't figure out why Hashem did it for you. You keep one sure of one thing, it's the best thing. It's a great life. Bitachon is the way to go. And everything in life, if you don't like it, it's not trying not to like it. So there, your wife got you annoyed today. She said something you didn't like. The highest level of bitachon really is with our wives. That's the highest level of bitachon. V'tach v'lei v'ala v'shola lo yasa. The biggest bitachon is the version of dafke. Mamash, we marry the women who dafke annoy us. The dafke disappoint us. This is not what I had in mind. And you have to say to yourself, you balgaiva. The Rabbi Shnan sent you the wife, the biggest bitachon is a wife. This is a constant assignment, day in and day out. Day in and day out, they annoy us, they disappoint us, not what we wanted. And, what do you mean? The Rabbi Shnan sent you the perfect wife. The perfect is the perfect one for you. And this wife is going to teach you to be patient. She's going to teach you to be humble. She's going to teach you not to be so balgaiva that you wanted, who knows what. And if this is your wife, it's the biggest gift. And until a person recognizes that his wife is the biggest gift in the Ribbono Shel Olam, she's the perfect gift. As long as they still have a little taina, we're not bothered to be talking yet, and we're not going to have the money and the parnasa that we want. Because it's only after bata bale bala, only after the husband has fully talking that Hashem sent me the wife that's perfect for me, even though I don't see it at first glance. When a person goes around the whole day and says, it's a test, she's perfect because Hashem is testing me through her. That's a test. Some people tested more, some people tested less. So, bata bale bala, and then shalal lo yefsar, and only then there'll be no lack of parnasa. The more a person has to be talking to his wife, he has to be talking about Hashem. If you don't believe in your wife, you don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, you think Hashem made a mistake. So, they made sure everybody's under the chuppah. He had children with this woman. You know, Hashem, you did a lousy job. You know, you should have asked me before you sent me this woman. I would have created my Pygmalion over here, my fair lady. I would have made her more fair. I think it's unfair what I got, God. Yeah, we made cheddar buck, we've been living together for 20 years. We have children, but no, God, you know, I have a lot of good advice for you, God. If I would have created the world, I also would have made the world differently. You know, God, we have to sit down one of these days. I really have I got a thing or two to teach you, God, about life in general, and my way, I think, would be different. No, Narishkeit. Ignorance and arrogance of the highest order. But the truth is, all of us do this all the time. We are all convinced that we could do a better job than Hashem, because if we have any complaints about life, that means that who are we upset with? Whose life? Where does life come from? So any complaints we have is a complaint against God. And the complaints, I was saying, you know, God, I think that you're making a mistake here. This didn't do a good job. That's what we're saying. We start thinking like that, we realize how foolish it is, how arrogant and meshug it is, and the thing we have the most complaints about it, the closer the people are in our lives, this is the kind of kid I got, Ribbono Shel Olam. My kid should have been some kind of a genius, the perfect child. That's the kind of kid I should have. This kid gets me very upset. You made a mistake, I think, either in the hospital, and maybe in the baby room over there, in the maternity ward, a mistake was made. This is not my kid. My kid has got to be something else, because I'm so terrific. How do I have such a crazy, wild, undisciplined kid with such a low IQ? Something's wrong. God, somebody made a mistake. Somebody made a mistake someplace. So David HaMelech says, The bitachon means that God don't make no mistakes. Everything is from the Ribono Shel Olam, knows exactly what he's doing. And I have perfect confidence in Hashem. I'm like a little baby cradled in his mother's bosom. That's how Hashem is cradling my neshama and my body. And that is the tranquility that is the gift of the Baal Bitachon. Okay, we'll stop here today, everybody.